Hey, before we start the show, the guys aren't even in here yet. Stephen and Glenn have not arrived. I need to talk to you about what we're doing right now, which is asking for your support for your local station to help support our show. And you may know there's me, there's Glenn, there's Stephen, there are producers, but you know, we talk about the fourth chair. You know who the fifth chair is? You know who the fifth chair is? The fifth chair is you. And when you give your support to your station, you see, then they can help NPR and NPR takes care of us. And then you get to continue to listen to the show. And so even though you might listen to us on your phone or in your car and not on your regular radio, that is how you support us and help us. That's what pays for our production. That's what pays for all of the costs of making the show. And it makes it possible for us to bring you all of the episodes and all of the TV conversations and movie conversations that we brought to you this year and that we hope to bring to you next year. So to you, our fifth chair, our great thanks. Go to donate.npr.org/happy and support your local station. What's the opposite of a love story? It might be the new Noah Baumbach film, Marriage Story, starring Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson as a couple we meet when they're just starting their divorce. For the next 2 hours, we watch them argue and negotiate over how to separate and how to co-parent their young son.
Marriage Story also stars Laura Dern and Ray Liotta as aggressive divorce lawyers and Alan Alda as a gentler hand who tries to give less combative representation. Baumbach wrote and directed the film, which is now streaming on Netflix, and the film recently picked up 6 Golden Globe nominations. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. We're talking about Marriage Story today on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
Support for Pop Culture Happy Hour and the following message come from Green from Amex. Always on the lookout for the latest trends? From your local bubble tea joint to off-the-beaten-path brewery tours, Green from Amex can help you discover more. With 3x points on restaurants and travel, including transit like taxis, ride shares, ferry rides, and subway swipes, it's built around your lifestyle so you can keep doing you with an extra boost of confidence. Learn more at americanexpress.com/greenfromamex. Terms apply.
Welcome back. You just met NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Also with us is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Linda.
And in our fourth chair today, we're happy to welcome back Bilal Qureshi. Bilal reports and produces cultural coverage for NPR. Hi, Bilal.
Hi, Linda. And hi, everyone.
We're so delighted to have you back. So I want to go to you first, Glenn, because I've spoken quite a bit about Marriage Story. I've written about it. You can read my review at NPR.org. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about how you feel about this film.
Well, I think it does exactly what it sets out to do, which might be a little bit surprising because you have to believe that they would be a couple. You'd have to believe these two people would be together. And you also have to believe that they would be incompatible for the reasons specified that they each complain about. They can't just assert that they're incompatible and then go from there. We have to see their complaints dramatized in action. We have to recognize that they are right about each other and that they just don't belong together. Another way a film like this could fall into a trap is if it felt like score settling, if it felt like it could be titled, I was right all along and y'all were idiots. But certainly a lot of breakup dramatizations feel that way. This doesn't for me. You know, people are talking a lot about it, whether or not it's even-handed. I just think I buy it. And what's interesting about the film for me is that it is so at a kind of a cool emotional temperature for so much of it and gets kind of legally and processy. And you start to wonder, well, this is good. I'm really enjoying this. But where's the Oscar reel moment? Where's their big? And then it happens. Mm-hmm. And all of that, you understand that the film has been kind of avoiding that big emotional conflict because they have been avoiding that big emotional conflict. And when it comes, it pays off in a huge way. So, yeah, I dug it.
Yeah. How about you, Bilal?
Well, I have to confess that I saw this within 6 months of getting married, and I found it absolutely terrifying. And I've been kind of haunted by it ever since seeing it at Toronto at the same time, I think, that you did, Linda.
Yes.
And I think part of it was that as much as it's also a portrait of divorce, it also seems to be a very beautifully observed portrait of marriage itself, like the daily quotidian things that they do, whether it's how people, you know, eat or drink or what their habits are that really get on each other's nerves. All of those details are so finely etched that I found the radical domesticity of it also partly really terrifying. But I think the thing that I really left moved by is the writing, because I mean, I think the screenplay of this film is just extraordinary from the opening to the way it ends and how it all is threaded through. And you're a novelist, and I'd be curious to know too how you felt about this, because it feels like all the right details are underscored and outlined to build the cumulative effect that it has. So I thought it was amazing. They're also both like icons of kind of my generation, I feel, the millennial kind of stars. So to see them, Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver, as a married couple, as a 30-something-ish couple, I imagine. I don't know. This felt closer to like people who have recently been married and to our generation, which is partly why it's, I think, terrifying some of my friends to watch it or not to watch it.
Yeah.
And I've said it was terrifying, and it is.
Yeah. I mean, my reaction to it was very similar to that. I think it's a beautifully constructed film. And I think that there have been a lot of people going back and forth, as Glenn mentioned, about sort of, is it even-handed? And people who don't like him and people who don't like her and people who don't like him but think the movie is on his side. That, to me, is kind of reductive, has been a kind of reductive argument about this movie because, you know, I do think that there are some differences in how much kind of emotional weight you get from the two of them. But without spoiling anything, I'll just say I think that's because of how it's going for right. them. I think you're always going to see somebody for whom the process is a little easier and somebody for whom it's a little harder and a little more challenging. Stephen, Bilal watched this as someone who was recently married. Mm-hmm. You're divorced.
Yes.
I think people know you're divorced.
Yes.
Tell me how you felt about this film.
Well, I got divorced from the years 2010 to 2012. And watching this, it's kind of like if they made a movie about the Green Bay Packers losing the Super Bowl in 1998. It happened a long time ago. I'm basically over it, but I'm still not ready to relive it.
Yeah.
At the same time, I absolutely loved this movie. And Bilal, you mentioned the writing, and this script is so incredibly important and key to this movie because it manages to be really realistic about how a lot of this stuff plays out. I think it's fair to both characters, and it is ultimately, in really interesting and I think very true ways, it is critiquing the system that leeches off of these people at their most vulnerable moments. The portrayal of the divorce lawyers in this movie made me just sit there hating divorce lawyers, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I think it's kind of fair to them too.
Yeah.
But you see how this process plays out, where everybody gets so emotionally invested, the lawyers who are kind of treating this as sport, and you're just sitting there like, oh man, get a mediator. You just see like sacks of money with flapping wings.
But you're right. But at the same time, Stephen, one of the things you and I talked about was I also understand when I watch this movie why the Scarlett Johansson character, mm-hmm. who is the first one to go out and sort of hire this aggressive lawyer played by Laura Dern, I understand why she does that, because the Adam Driver character, Charlie, is more kind of verbal and kind of more arguey than she is. Mm-hmm. She feels uncomfortable. He's a theater guy. She thinks of herself as, you know, I'm an actress and he's a director. And it right. feels, you can tell that in her head, he's sort of the smart one.
In her head, there's a power imbalance. It, yeah. She's
in
trying
her head,
to...
Right. And in her head, when they argue, she is at a disadvantage. So you understand, or I understood why she wanted to go out and get a lawyer who is aggressive. And there's a really interesting piece in Slate where an actual divorce lawyer talks about this film and how realistic a lot of it is, and also kind of talks about how it's sort of difficult for her to watch it because she feels like, do we really come across like that?
Narrator, yes.
But what she didn't say, was nothing would ever get this difficult.
What struck me about Laura Dern's character, who's Scarlett Johansson's lawyer, is that when they first meet, she says to her, after sitting with her on the couch and kind of throwing off her shoes and kind of getting really cozy, like, we're just going to have a time to talk. She says, you know, part of what we're going to do here is tell your story. And I thought that was a really interesting idea too, since so much of what we've been talking about, it seems to me more broadly culturally, especially when it comes to gender dynamics, is like, when do women's stories get heard? Do they get to tell their story? And there, this element of this MacArthur genius, grant winning theater, you know, director, actor, played by Adam Driver, already a large, tall figure. You know, I think that moment is really moving, that of course she wants to finally feel heard. And that idea of like who's heard and who's not, I think is conveyed while, yes, it's weaponized by the divorce lawyers, I also thought it was really beautifully articulated by that idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd argue that the film might be a little bit more interesting if we weren't clear that Adam Driver's character was good at what he does. But getting that MacArthur Genius Grant kind of tells us what the movie wants us to think about his art. Also, it would be interesting if maybe Scarlett Johansson isn't a great actress. I mean, like, just there's something about that that I like a little bit more ambiguity in that, I think, would be enjoyable. But we keep saying, you know, devastating, terrifying. There's humor in this movie. Mm. You don't cast Merritt Weaver for, like, a blink and you'll miss her, you know, one scene.
But as Scarlett Johansson's sister.
As Scarlett Johansson's sister. You don't cast Julie Hagerty as Scarlett Johansson's mother without knowing, okay, we need to step off the gas every so often and just allow this, allow these people to breathe as this relationship is dying.
I think it's really important to note, like you said, Glenn, you don't want to get too caught up in how wrenching this movie is because I ultimately found it enormously cathartic and enormously, in a strange way, enjoyable to the point where I've been sitting here, you know, it's on Netflix, it's already on Netflix, and I'm so glad it's on Netflix because everybody can see it at once and talk about it. I'm actually thinking about seeing it again. Like, just, like, sitting down and watching it again.
I didn't see that one coming.
I know. I know, right? Like, you would think, like, it's so triggering. It's pinging some painful spots. But it ultimately is a very entertaining movie with a lot of really wise thoughts on a subject that is not dear to me, but close to me.
It's also just really, I find it visually just very warm. I think it has this grainy film stock quality to it. It looks kind of, I mean, I don't know if anybody else felt this as well. But, I mean, the way that it is both also just a really pleasing film to watch.
Yeah.
And additionally, I love the way that you were mentioning, Glenn, that it has a lot of fun. It has a lot of fun with New York versus LA.
Sure.
Which I have to say that is like an ongoing, constant discussion in some, you know, whatever people always talk about, that comparison. But I felt this movie had the most fun with it and did a lot with it. Because that's one of the central questions is one character wants to move to LA and the other has wanted to stay in New York. And so there's theater and there's TV and it's, you know, people put on sunglasses as soon as they're in LA and then the Brooklyn people all have like lattes, and it's just an interesting way that it plays with that.
This film is also exceptionally well cast because when you cast Laura Dern in a part, there's already some momentum. We already kind of know who that character is. Same thing with Ray Liotta. I mean, you just, the minute you see him. And
Alan Alda.
Suit, and Alan Alda, of course, there's so much that's going on where it's taking our preconceived notions and not exploiting them, but sort of using them to kind of goose the story.
They don't dwell on it a lot, but there's a scene where, you know, these competing divorce lawyers are kind of chumming it up in the hallway because they know each other, because they're constantly going to battle with each other. And you get how it becomes a sport to them.
One of the things that the real divorce lawyer in the Slate piece talks about and answers a question about is, what about this part where the lawyers are all having this very intense battle and then they break for lunch? And it's kind of like, oh, okay, so what does everybody want to have for lunch? And the lawyer basically said, like, that made my blood run cold because that is sort of what happens. It'll be like everybody fighting and then kind of, oh, are we going to get pizza for lunch or sandwiches?
Well, and I have to just say that scene is one of the scenes in rewatching it a second time, because I did watch it a second time, which I find, you know, it's just, it's a really powerful film and it's equally powerful to me, I felt, the second time. But the scene that, Linda, you just mentioned, it's the scene where the lawyers are going to just very generically have their orders and talking to very, but the couple, like Adam Driver, is confused about what to order, and it's his now to be ex-wife who turns and picks up the menu and says, I'm going to order for you because I know what he likes. And I felt like the way that the film to me left this ambiguous is that if the divorce industrial complex had not intervened, would this couple have stayed together somehow? Would these arguments have been less weaponized? I felt like that's the thing that the film also does a really smart job of leaving open-ended by showing us this and yet also showing that there are very legitimate grievances that they needed to resolve and address.
Well, one of the things that I find most heartbreaking about this story, and one of the reasons why I think it's so difficult, is that I think a lot of the reason why they are separating is just they want to do different things that are not compatible. It's not necessarily, and I think you get this by the end of the film, it's not necessarily that he is bad or she is bad, but she wants to live in LA for her acting career. He wants to live in New York for his theater career. That's where his theater company is. They have a child who cannot simultaneously live in both places. That's going to end badly for somebody, if not for everybody. And so I like the fact that that's kind of where the biggest incompatibility lands. I also really admire and appreciate the fact that they start this film with the two montages that were in the trailers, mm-hmm. which are her talking about the things she loves about him and him talking about the things he loves about her, which kind of steeps you in the understanding mm-hmm. that these are decent human beings who have loved each other. I think that's a very smart script and directorial decision to begin with those very sweet, you know, where you see these flashes of a marriage that was successful.
And can I just say, that is 7.5 minutes of the first 7.5 minutes of the film are those love letters essentially to each other about what they love, which is amazing in the sense that, like, a film about divorce, as you said, steeps you in that for the first almost 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's quite amazing from a directorial decision too, I think, and then it comes back to those letters in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I found that really amazing, actually.
Yeah, and of course, I always appreciate a film that has a little Stephen Sondheim in it, which
God.
This one does.
It sure does.
And you can read more about that in any number of places after you've seen the movie, but we won't spoil that right this minute. All right. Well, let us know what you think of Marriage Story. It is on Netflix now, and you can find it there. And then find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. You can follow Bilal at BQILAL. Thanks to all of you guys for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. And if you have a second and you're so inclined, do donate to your local station at donate.npr.org/happy. That will help us continue to make this show. And we will see you all right back here on Friday.
What were the best albums, songs, and memorable moments from 2019? I'm Robin Hilton. Join NPR Music all this month as we look back at the past year, from Lil Nas X and Billie Eilish to Lizzo and Leonard Cohen. Listen on All Songs Considered from NPR with new episodes each week.